The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Robinson in motion. Give it to Singletary. On the cut. Penetrates and scores. What an opening drive for the Giants behind Jameis and company. Third down again. Willis holds on. Willis rolls and throws. And it's snatched for the touchdown by Watson. 10th play of the drive out of a run formation. And Wilson slips through and scores to give Green Bay the lead. Love. Drop back. Wide open, man. It's the tight end, Josh Whiley. His second game with the Packers, and he's got the touchdown to give them the lead. Fifth body coming for the Giants. Pressure. Love with time. Waving receivers around. Off the back foot, he launches it downfield, and it's caught by Savion Williams. Love on a high snap. Floats it. Watson up top. It is caught. Touchdown, Packers. Green Bay's got the lead. They're playing intermediate right now. Here's Winston. Loading up, got a hurry, hit from behind, ball is out, and this game is over, and Micah Parsons finally gets home, and he is now 9-0 in his career against the New York Giants.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
What does that music mean, Gabe Neitzel?
It's a victory Monday.
That's right. Packers get the big victory yesterday against the Giants. Look, it was not pretty. I would say it was actually kind of ugly, and they started slow, and there were certainly issues, and yet it's a win. We do not apologize for wins. We simply improve the things that we did not do all that well. But one guy who I think shut up a lot of critics with his performance, with his clutch play, was the quarterback, Jordan Love. Taking that hit and going into the medical tent, which I believe I texted you guys, oh my gosh, but I didn't say gosh, as Jordan Love left the field.
Wait, that's what you censor yourself on?
Yeah, I'm Catholic.
Oh, because the other words aren't bad if you're Catholic.
Yeah, I don't think that Jesus has an issue with the other words. He very implicitly had said that he has an issue with the one.
Somebody didn't pay attention during their Catholic schooling.
Well, that's not sort of the case for everyone.
It's because they go on and on and on and on and on.
Let's wrap it up.
Exactly. That's how I feel. Jordan Love looked good yesterday. It was the clutch performance late in the game. It was him coming back from the medical tent, getting back out there on the field, even dealing with that shoulder injury, the left shoulder injury that Gabe was just talking about in the last segment of the show. I think he earned a lot of props, if you will. I think he earned some props from people who were like, is this the guy? Should he be the guy? Can he get the job done for this Green Bay Packers team? I think he answered yesterday, yes.
Yeah, but how many times has he done that this year? And then followed it up with games that we saw against Carolina.
Yeah, that's the issue.
Against Philadelphia. And that's the issue. He needs to start building on that. And that is going to be, if you're a critic of Jordan Love, I would not consider myself one of them, hoping that good thing that Jordan came back in, because if Malik played and Malik played well,
and they win,
we would have a lot of conversation about Malik and Jordan Love in terms of the quarterback position for the Packers. But we knew this coming in. We know what the ceiling for Jordan is. He just has to reach it more often. He has to play like he did yesterday more often. Yeah, the final stat line doesn't look great, but the 5 drops, I think, certainly factor into how poorly that reflected. And he played well. He played really good yesterday.
Well,
he has to continue that if the Packers want to continue to build off of it. It's all about Jordan and him being more consistent, letting it rip like he did on that throw to Christian Watson in the end zone to win the game.
I think it's really important that you say that, because if you're one of these people who doesn't watch the game but just checks out box scores, and admittedly, I'll do that sometimes for other games in the league, right? I'm not sitting there watching every single NFL game, but I'll certainly check out the box score and see how it shook out. You would not know, you would not be aware of how well Jordan played in the clutch in that game. We referenced it earlier, right? Didn't he go like 4 of 7 or something like that on that final drive?
4 of 6.
4 of 6 on that final drive, and he had the big chunk plays to Savion, to Christian, etc. The box score is not indicative, especially with that 74 QBR, of how Jordan...
Well, 74 QBR is really good. 50's average in that stat.
Oh, I guess I thought it was
quarterback rating is 105.2.
Yeah. Which, by the way, he was 105. Yeah, I saw the 74, thought it was the quarterback rating and not the QBR. That's on me. But if you looked at the box score, you would not have known that he had the type of day that he did. And I do think that it is important that people see that Jordan Love can do this. And we have talked about this, guys. This is what we have ranted about, it feels like, for years about Jordan Love. Because you see flashes of greatness, because you see him be able to put the team on his back like he did yesterday, you expect him to be able to do it consistently, week in and week out. What is it going to take for him to be able to do that, Gabe?
Hopefully, we'll see if Matt LaFleur kind of cuts him a little bit loose. Jason asked the question of both of them last week. Hey, when Jordan was starting for the first time, both Matt and Jordan said, hey, we just got to cut him loose. As a play caller,
let
as
rip,
a player.
Was the exact quote.
Yeah, let him rip. And that's what Jordan has to do here. If you throw another interception or two down the stretch, a couple picks, who cares? You got to let it rip. You have to take chances with the football. You can't be hesitant because there were too many times in the previous two games where he gets to the top of the drop, looks like he wants to throw it, and maybe I shouldn't, and then decides to try to go on. There wasn't a huge window for him to throw that ball to Christian Watson yesterday, but he decided, hey, I'm going to let Christian go make this play. He has to trust more players outside of Romeo Doubs, and hopefully after that catch yesterday, Christian Watson is somebody that is now on that list, but he has to trust more people than Romeo Doubs in tight windows. Because it doesn't seem like there are a lot of guys who have opportunities to make contested catches outside of Romeo. But we saw one from Savion Williams yesterday. We saw one from Christian Watson. We saw him give the opportunity to Matthew Golden that ends up being incomplete, but Golden draws the pass interference penalty. Give your receivers a chance to make some of those plays and understand that not everybody can be wide open. You just got to let it rip. If you turn it over, you turn it over. But let's at least, if this over the final seven games, if the Packers aren't going to win the division, at least go down swinging and stop holding onto the football and go, I guess I can't make that throw. I'm going to try to go over here.
Or maybe even that guy can't make that catch because he has shown that he's unreliable from a catch standpoint. Well, I do think
Romeo's
that
pretty unreliable.
Well, but I also think Romeo that Jaden Reed coming back, whenever we can get him back into the mix, is going to be a huge win for this team as well. Because we just talked earlier in the show about a security blanket and the guys that you want to be able to just go to. I think that Jaden Reed was becoming that for Jordan Love. This idea of nothing else is open on the field. Where's Jaden? He can make a play. Also, now, I know you guys have been critical of him in man, and I know there was man yesterday that they were facing. So, it's going to be a case-by-case basis. But I can't help but think of it having that dynamic on the offense is going to also help Jordan Love do what we're saying, put the team on his back, be the solution for a stagnant offense.
Well, what Jaden Reed is going to provide is the yak.
Mm-hmm.
It disappeared when Tucker Kraft went down, and you're going to have to find ways to use him that way. And he's very effective that way. We've seen him take over games, sort of taking the short stuff and turning it into long gains.
Somebody playing a zone, best of luck to you.
Yeah, and he was even, before he got hurt, he was like effective downfield more so than in previous years. It seemed like he had taken a bit of a step forward. It's probably going to take him a week or two to get into the swing of things, but to me, that's where the offense can then sort of blossom and the passing game can really function instead of those short gains being Luke Musgrave getting tackled or John Fitzpatrick. You can use that guy in a spot that he's going to be able to turn big plays.
Unfortunately, best case scenario, I think he returns against the Bears.
Yeah.
Because they haven't opened the practice window yet. He's been doing things on the side. So if they open the practice window this week, I don't think he's going to be ready for the following week. Then you basically, it's walkthroughs, it's light practices, because you got the quick turnaround on Thursday for Thanksgiving in Detroit. Can't imagine he would play in that game. I think best case scenario is he returns for the Bears game in the third of three games that they have here against divisional opponents.
Jay weighing in on the Carbless talk and text line, 800-990-3776. And while we're talking about wide receivers, should the Packers get moving in extending Watson's deal? Obviously, they did give him that one-year deal, which goes through the 2026 season. Do you think Jay is talking about extending him beyond that?
Maybe you can't. Can you? Is it like?
No, they can't. They can't.
You have to wait a calendar year for the last extension.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because we ran into that with Jordan Love, yes, with the way that they gave him not the fifth year option, but then gave him an awkward 1 year extension, yes, before they signed him to the big time extension that he currently has. So it would be a similar thing with Christian Watts. So you can't even extend Christian
till September of next year.
That would be the earliest they could have those conversations.
If you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll get to your calls right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Recovery is just as important as training. That's why my infrared sauna from Good Health Saunas has become a game changer in my life. The deep heat helps loosen tight muscles, ease soreness, and improve flexibility so I can bounce back fast. And so look, guys, it's not just working out. It's travel as well. I'm on these airplanes, the circulated air in these hotel rooms. I just feel down and lethargic. But the Good Health Sauna gets me right back to full speed. And I know you guys have seen people using their Good Health Saunas, their red light therapy on social media. So many people are behind it because it works. Stop into the Good Health Sauna showroom in Waukesha or visit goodhealthsaunas.com/Jen for more information.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So, hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Hey guys, it's Jen, and Closets by Design Milwaukee is doing something really special this holiday season. They've launched a holiday food drive to help families right here in our community. Their goal is to make sure at least 100 local families enjoy a full holiday meal this year. Closets by Design in Mequon is family-owned and operated by Doug and Cindy Gowert, and its giving back is just part of who they are. As Doug says, when times are tough, family and community have to come first. So they're asking all of us to join their mission to pack the van and feed a fam. You can just stop by 6040 West Executive Drive in Mequon or just put Closets by Design into your GPS. During their business hours, which are essentially 9 to 5, drop off non-perishable food, toiletries, or cash donations. Help fill the Closets by Design van and make sure that no family in our community goes hungry this holiday season. How concerned are you about the shoulder injury to Jordan Love? Obviously, it's not on his throwing arm, and he was able to come back into the game and lead a game-winning drive. Do you think it's something that is lingering for him that will have to be... And why I ask this is not, again, from a throwing standpoint, but there are times we want him to get outside of the pocket, right? There are times we want him to make plays with his legs. It has been something we've been clamoring for, it feels like, forever with Jordan Love. Do you think having that shoulder injury maybe gives him a little hesitancy when it comes to getting outside the pocket?
Or at the very least, he taught him a lesson of get down, right? Because that was a hit that he didn't need to take. He should have gotten down, he even said after the game, should have found a way to get out of bounds or should have gone down. Lowering your shoulder into a defender as a quarterback, never a good idea. Unless you're Josh Allen, who's a tank of a human being. Like the rules are different for him, but for Jordan... It's going to be lingering, I think. It's going to be a pain tolerance type thing. I don't think he misses any time. I don't think it's going to affect him that much. It's going to be there reminding him. But I think I would not be shocked if he's a little more hesitant or at least learns a lesson of, hey, don't need to be taking this hit on. Just get down, get out of bounds.
Let's hear from the quarterback after the win yesterday at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, you know, it was tough. Went in, got evaluated, and figured it was good enough to come back, so came back in. But, yeah, it was definitely not fun. It's, just a small injury. So we'll reevaluate it when we get back, look at it, see what's going on. But, yeah, it's not fun.
Is that the quintessential Jordan Love response right there, by the way? He bookends it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not fun at the beginning, not fun at the end. Says some stuff in the middle, but doesn't really give you a ton of information. But he definitely fills your microphone for about 14 seconds, and then he stops talking.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's who Jordan Love is. He's not going to use this as a crutch or an excuse. Hey, it's there. I'm going to have to deal with it. We're going to move on.
What was the best moment for you yesterday from Jordan Love? Was it that final drive?
It was the throw to Christian Watson, without a doubt. Let it rip. Put it in a spot where only Christian could get it. And then for Christian to hold on. I mean, that was, to me, it was the throw of the year so far for Jordan Love. I can't think of a better throw that he's made. And it's going to be tough, I think, to top it. That's how good I thought that throw was to Jordan, to Christian.
Hebadoobi in the 608, weighing in on the Cardinals talking text line, says, let's not give Love too much credit. Great throw to Watson and an even better catch, but the throw to Williams was just as likely to be an interception as a completion. I thought we've talked about that before, though. This is part of the DNA of Jordan Love, right?
It's part of a successful offense. You have to take risks. If you're going to play conservative and not put the ball at any risk and not trust your guys to win, the offense is going to look like it did against the Eagles. That's just a matter of the fact.
I also don't think that ball at any point was at risk of being intercepted.
It wasn't. He trusted his guy to go make a play, and he's done it before. and it's worked.
The defender wasn't in any position. Maybe he blindly knocks it down, right. But he had at no point was that defender going to make a play where it was going to be an interception.
Right. We don't grant Jordan the same benefits we did Aaron Rodgers when he made like improbable throws. And granted, Aaron Rodgers earned that. He did it over a long, extended period of time. He won multiple MVPs. But those are the kind of stuff that big-time quarterbacks do. They throw it into spots where they say, I'm trusting my guy to win. The defender, I don't know if you guys know this. This might be breaking news. Their backs are generally towards, if they're in man coverage, towards the quarterback. Yep. So you have the ability to make those throws, even if it's going to zip right by their ear, right by their head, whatever it is, because you have to do it. It's the NFL. The margins are thin. You got to make throws.
Yeah, I did not have that one on the bingo card this morning. Like, the Savion play was awesome. Did not have someone going, yeah, could have been picked. Did not have the Savion play being interpreted as something negative for the Packers in the offense. Did not see that one coming.
So he doesn't make that throw. 4th and 10, you lose the game then. What the hell is he supposed to do otherwise? The context also matters here. You needed a play. Your quarterback made one. He was the best player on the field yesterday by like a wide margin. And I thought Michael Parsons played pretty well.
Well, let's hear from Jordan Love, because you guys, we have both him talking about the touchdown pass to Christian Watson, and we have him talking about the throw to Savion Williams. Joshy, let's start with the Savion Williams one, since that's the one that is in question right now.
Yeah, no, we ran in pretty much stop routes, if you think about it. And, kind of went off schedule. I was in the pocket, had time, didn't like the obviously initial read, and just went off scramble drill. Told him to go deep, and he did a good job kind of wheeling up and just threw him up, a 50-50 ball. He went up and made a big-time catch for us. So just a really phenomenal play by him.
I'm glad he said scramble drill. I'm glad he said 50-50 ball, because that's all I was thinking when it happened. I was like, well, that's not a designed play at all, is it? But it worked. And to your point, sometimes you have to just take what the defense is giving you. Sometimes you have to just go out, throw a Hail Mary out there, and hope that you have a guy in the vicinity who can make a play. I will say this, from a quarterback play standpoint, and I saw that Joshy put this on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube stream. Should the Packers have a package of plays on offense that gets Malik Willis more involved in this final stretch of the season?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Can I add a caveat? Because I'm with you.
Yep.
In around the goal line, I don't hate it. Because they want to run the ball so much and it's not working, they
But that's the thing. Like, in goal line situations, that's the only time it has been working. Because Josh Jacobs has found the end zone so often. Again, right. Now with Josh being out, in that very specific instance, you might be able to talk me into it. But at the same time, if Jordan Love's that guy and we're paying him $55 million,
agreed.
I kind of want him to have all three cracks at the end zone there. Or four if you're going four down, fourth down.
Yeah, I think it's more of, hey, what we're doing hasn't worked today. Let's try something. Let's give him something different.
I would be more open to it if Josh Jacobs is out this specific week. Because Josh has been so good in those goal-to-go situations. If you had some sort of zone read play in for Malik with Emmanuel Wilson, you might be able to talk me into it.
I like that. But generally, I like that idea, because again, you don't want to take your playmakers off the field, right? That's like basic football 101. If these are your top players, you want them to be on the field and touching the ball as often as possible. That includes Jordan Love. That includes Josh Jacobs. But if Josh Jacobs is going to miss time as he deals with this knee injury, and not significant time, as we were told yesterday after the game, then it does feel a little like, because Malik gives you that run element. Now, I'm not asking Malik Willis to become a running back for the Green Bay Packers. I don't want anybody jumping into the thread. I don't want anybody jumping into the comments saying that. But I kind of like that as a change of pace. I kind of like that as a wrinkle, Gabe, that might give this team another spark.
I still think I'm against it, because now I'm just thinking it through. Like, on first down, you run something. Now he comes out there. Let's say it doesn't work on second down. Now all of a sudden, Jordan's thrown back out there on third down. All right, make something happen. I feel like you're putting Jordan in a real tough spot. If it works, everyone's going to think it's great. But the second it doesn't work, I don't know if the risk is worth it in that situation.
Can you keep Jordan on the field? Can you have them both on the field?
You can, but then you're technically playing a man down, because...
Yeah, you're just going to throw Jordan somewhere where he's like not a part of the play.
And I think where you could get creative, though, is have Malik on the field, and guess what? He doesn't get the ball. And it goes to someone else. That's also a way to do it.
Well, and I also think maybe you run a play, and even if it doesn't work, now defenses have to think about it. right? As you're getting into this tough stretch of the schedule where you're facing all these division opponents, maybe all of a sudden you give them a little something like, oh, wait, they threw Malik Willis out there on a couple of plays, didn't end up working out, but that doesn't mean that we don't have to scheme against it or be prepared for it.
Here's
you take a little bit of their bandwidth away as the prep week goes
here's
on.
Here's the thing that I'm having trouble a little bit with this is, if Malik Willis was on, say, the Chicago Bears with Ben Johnson or Dan Campbell and the Lions, Malik Willis is getting touches in and around the goal line.
Well, sure.
100 million percent.
Yeah, but Jared Goff also plays with two gloves when it's 45 degrees outside. So.
Boy, was he bad yesterday.
That's what I'm saying, man. You put on two gloves, you can't
also,
be trusted.
They're not afraid to do the misdirection. I don't want to say trick plays because that's not necessarily what they'd be doing around the goal line, but they're not afraid to sort of do things teams haven't seen to catch them off surprise. They do it all the time, and to my knowledge, it's pretty effective for them.
Let's hear from Matt LaFleur, who was, I believe, asked about having a special package for Willis.
It's certainly up for discussion. I mean, it's just hard to want to take your quarterback off the field, so... you know, I know there was some game plans last year where we had a 2QB package, and who knows? Maybe we'll see that come back.
And it maybe even him saying that does what I was alluding to, which is makes opponents have to scheme against it, makes opponents have to be prepared for it. Because there's nothing worse, as you guys know, than a team trotting out a personnel package that you've never seen before and going, what the hell do we do now? Who you got here? Who's got it? You know, and there's all that miscommunication and the chaos, and that could ultimately be an advantage for the team on offense. We will put it on the ESPN Milwaukee, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Infinity Exterior poll as well. Should the Packers have a package of plays on offense that gets Malik Willis more involved? Because to his credit, guys, every time he's been out there on the field, he makes stuff happen. We are not proposing a quarterback controversy by any stretch of the imagination. We are simply saying, man, if you've got a weapon, you got talent, is there a way you can use it? Is there a way that you can take advantage of that talent, especially in this portion of the season where you're going to be facing the NFC North opponents? People are going to be running the ball. You may be without Josh Jacobs for a stretch here as he recovers from the knee injury, Gabe.
Yeah, I'm. The more I think about it, I think I'm just out on it in general. I don't want to take Jordan Love off the field, put him in bad situations. Like, we're just talking about how we want Jordan Love to cook. We want Jordan Love to go out there and be the guy. Oh, but we're going to take you off in the field when we're in the most important part of the field trying to score a touchdown. Seems counterintuitive to me. I think ultimately I'm against this. But is your business looking to take the next step? At Fifth Third Commercial Bank Wisconsin, the team of local experienced advisors here to propel you forward, they understand your needs and offer in-depth expertise, cutting-edge technology, and tailored solutions to streamline your cash collections, automate payments, and safeguard your assets with top-notch fraud mitigation tools. Contact Fifth Third in downtown Milwaukee today. Let's eliminate the non-value ad work so you can focus on what truly matters most. Growing your business. Fifth Third Bank, National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get him?
I just assumed, when I said wait, did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It is a Victory Monday. It's brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screaming Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. Victory Monday also brought to you by National Liquor Mart, 16th and National, right here in Milwaukee. Stock up on the best beer, liquor, seltzer, and spirit deals in town. Open 9 to 9 daily, your game day headquarters all season long. And Victory Monday's brought to you by Callen, from kitchen to bathroom remodels to Infinity by Marvin fiberglass replacement windows. Callen makes your home feel like a win. Request your consultation today at callcallen.com.
We talked a little bit earlier about the defense yesterday in the Packers' win over the Giants. And it was a little concerning that the Giants, a team that has certainly struggled this year to the point of firing their head coach, was in this one for as long as they were. Mike Parsons had 5 pressures, including 1.5 sacks. 6th game this season with 5 or more pressures. And, of course, he had the big play at the end of the game to lock it down. Let's go out to the phone line as well. Caleb in Horicon has been waiting patiently on the line to talk a little bit about the Packers' defense. Good morning, Caleb. How you doing today?
Good. How are you guys? Happy Victory Monday.
Well, it sounds like it from you, Caleb. Can we get a little pep in the step here?
Hey, I mean, Victory Monday. I still don't know what I feel about this team, but, I mean, a win's a win. I did want to bring up something about Rashawn Gary, who hasn't had a sack in his last 3 games, 3 total tackles in his last 3 games. And there's been some talk on Twitter, I think it came from Andy Herman, about his contract for 2026. I mean, Enag Bari also played more snaps than him. That came out this morning. I mean, should we be worried about Rashawn Gary? Also, I never forgot about Chris Brooks, Josh. Thank you for quote tweeting me.
You're welcome, Caleb.
You guys got a Chris Brooks fan club going. Are you going to meet on Wednesdays or Thursdays? What are you guys going to get together?
I'm starting it. And if he keeps blocking like that, we're going to keep winning.
You know what it's going to be, Joshy? I don't know if you guys got to see the feature that we did on College Game Day this weekend about the shirtless fans. It was just one guy, right, at the Oklahoma State game. He went up there, took his shirt off, started swinging it around. And then it was two guys. So you and Caleb are up there swinging your shirts around.
I'll go tarps off for Chris Brooks.
Right, swinging your shirt around. And then you know what? You start a movement. And they're doing it at all the stadiums across the country. Chris Brooks, Chris Brooks. But you started it, buddy. How does that feel?
Feels great.
I feel like that's where we're going.
The fan club's growing.
Keep getting us your reaction this morning to the Packers win 27... What was the final? 27-20 yesterday?
27-20.
Thank you. Which, by the way, all of our ESPN Milwaukee personalities picked a win yesterday. So we were all optimistic that they could get the win, although it was questionable early on. Do we have Rob Domofsky this morning?
We
do have Rob Domofsky.
Oh, hand fantastic. Up. I forgot it was Monday. We had him on Tuesday last week. My fault.
No, who cares? Rob Domofsky joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning to talk about that Packers victory. Good morning, Rob. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Jen. I'm still looking at the New York City skyline, and it's a little different than the Green Bay skyline. So I just got to soak it all in.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, what is your reaction to the win yesterday? We have talked about all of the elements. We have talked about Jordan Love's performance. Yeah. We have talked about the dropped passes. We have talked about the dropped interceptions. We have talked about the defense and the tackling and Edgerrin Cooper. What do you think was the biggest takeaway from yesterday's win?
I think it was what Jordan Love said, is that this is what we needed. You know, and I know it's not like it's not pretty. I don't know that it convinced a lot of people, but for their own psyche, they needed a win. And like that, to me, that's when the quarterback feels that way, that's probably the most important thing to take out of the game, because if the quarterback feels that way, that probably means the rest of the group will follow. That said, all those things you mentioned, they'll give you a pause and make you wonder if this team's really capable. You know, I think we'll find out, you know, a decent amount more after this next 3-game stretch. All division games, Minnesota, at Detroit, and then Chicago. I think they've got to win two of them, in my opinion, to make sure they're still in it. But I do think the most important thing was, you know, coming here and getting a win, even though it was still 20-19 with about 5 minutes to go.
Is Devontae Wyatt not completely healthy?
Yeah, he's not the same impact guy, Gabe, that he was before the injury, right? I mean, I to be honest with you, first game back, I barely noticed him. I don't know that I've noticed him much since then.
I mean, he only played 47% of the snaps, too.
Yeah, but, you know, I'd have to look at a lot of the down and distances, but they played a lot of nickel, which, you know, obviously they're going to put an extra pass rusher in there probably. So it did seem like they played a lot of nickel. And we're, you know, kind of rotating guys in, but it's, you know, the run defense was probably their, you know, it was one of their worst.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it statistically was, but it felt like one of their worst run defensive efforts of the season. So it was both backs that were, you know, 26 and 29 seemed to have big impacts on the game. So, yeah, I think there's definitely cause for concern there, but, you know, I don't know. Defensively, I sort of will give him. I mean, you're allowed to have a down defensive performance every once in a while, and after the last two games, they were outstanding. You know, I guess I'm willing to give him a little bit of a pass.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning after a Packers win over the Giants. How do you explain the drops again? We thought we had sort of curbed that or cured that illness, and then all of a sudden they show up with a vengeance yesterday.
I mean, the crazy thing is, before last week, they didn't have many drops at all. Like they were, especially by receivers, they had some tight end drops. They had some, you know, they had some running back drops, but before the last game, they had exactly one drop by a receiver. That was week 11, the first 9 weeks. That's it. And now that they've had an epidemic of them, really, dropped interceptions as well. I know those don't count as drops, but, five drops by the offense, and you could argue three or four by the defense. So it was windy. I don't know that that necessarily is the reason, but it's, you know, it's just one of those things that just when you think you got it fixed, it pops back up again. And look, Romeo Doubs has had issues at times throughout his career. I do think he came back and made a couple of really strong catches after that. But yeah, those are the kind of things that get you beat.
There's some nuance in this, Rob, and we talked about it a little bit last week in our show. It's been something that's been kind of festering in my mind, and with Josh Jacobs getting injured yesterday and then Jordan looking as good as he did the rest of the way, is it possible that Josh being out, them going under center more because Jacobs is not in the game, helps unlock Jordan Love play the way he did yesterday?
You know, the weird thing is, they used, and I think we talked about this last week or maybe on the pregame show, the play action deal.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Jacobs only played, a dozen snaps or so, they used more play action yesterday than they had been and recently. And I think it was their second highest play action rate. So they were still play faking, even though their running back threat wasn't there, you know, which is, I don't know what that means or why that was, but they were 34% of their plays yesterday, play action. The previous 2 weeks, they were like 20%. This was their second highest play action rate of the season, according to our ESPN fine researchers. And it's interesting because, like, you're faking that your running back's going to run and your best running back's not running. It's not in the game. So I don't know why that was. But to me, that was the whole key to the offense was, you know, getting back to more play action stuff. And that's what Matt LaFleur's offense is based on. It's based on, you know, selling run looks and then throwing out of it. So, you know, I think that helped Jordan Love yesterday being under, you know, you play action under center more for the most part. So I do think that helped Jordan Love. And I think you make a great point. Like, I just think that's, they need to do that more. I really believe that.
Rob, let's talk about the quarterback. Jordan Love had a pretty good game, coming back from the shoulder injury, getting back out there, leading the game-winning drive. I said the box score isn't going to be fully indicative of how good he was yesterday. What's next? How does Jordan Love duplicate that type of performance so that we can get some of that consistency out of the QB that we so desperately want?
Yeah, throws like the one, the touchdown to Christian Watson, the second touchdown. He obviously didn't have the first one. Malik Willis did. I mean, those are the kind of, that was an Aaron Rodgers type of throw. You know, that corner fade where the ball is put, you know, basically in the perfect spot, and Watson had to go up and make a heck of a play. Like, you need to see more of those plays don't have to be touchdowns all the time, but just ball placement. That's where he needs to be. He needs to be in that. And look, Savion Williams, that was a chuck and duck, right? That one, that was lucky, I think. But like, there's some throws that he put on the money yesterday that I think he has to be, that has to become the norm for him. And then I think they're going to be okay. But you know, we need to see that game in and game out from, you know, him and this offense. And part of that's on the play caller. Like, there's no question that, you know, Matt LaFleur has got to help him. Just like any coach has to help a quarterback. I'm not saying Jordan Love needs help. He needs to be put in the right positions and with the right play calls at the right time, and that's on the play caller.
What's up with Rashawn Gary? 54% of the snaps. Engabari gets one more snap than he does. It seems like they're kind of, souring on him?
He fell on that strip sack to recover the fumble there from Micah Parsons' strip sack. I'm trying to look at the positives here. Gabe, they won a football game. No, someone said this to me actually before the game that, you know, most people think that Micah Parsons signing, you know, freed up Rashawn Gary. This person said to me that Micah Parsons signing has exposed Rashawn Gary. Like, and you know, early on Rashawn Gary was what, he had seven sacks in the first couple of first five, six games. And I don't know if he's had one since. I don't even know how many pressures he's had. It doesn't seem like very many. I thought that was an interesting take that, that Rashawn Gary in the last month or so has been exposed. So, they got to have a hard decision. I don't even know. They're going to have to do something with his contract next year. His cap number is, you know, it's absurd, to be honest with you. It is, bear with me here.
26 million?
Yep, 28 point,
okay,
almost 28.1 million, base salary of 18 million. He has no roster bonus in April, you know, or March. You know, those are the things that usually you have to make a decision by, like, you know, you got to cut him or pay him $8 million on the third day of the league year. This year, he has no roster offseason roster bonus. He had an $8.7 million one that they paid on the fifth day of the league year last year, so that was probably like March 20th. So that's an interesting aspect of it. They don't necessarily have to cut him or trade him by then because they don't owe him any more guaranteed money. But that number is big. They're in some cap trouble next year, just looking at ahead with some guys. And if they cut him, they would save $19.5 million if they did it after June 1 and almost $11 million if they did it, you know, right away. So it's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting guy to kind of keep an eye on as we get into this offseason.
Last thing for you, Rob. Last week we did a screw it, let's try it segment show here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jordan Love's injury yesterday meant that Malik Willis got some snaps. Should the Packers have a package of plays on offense that gets Malik Willis more involved? And again, we're not trying to create a quarterback controversy. I want to be very clear on this.
Jordan Love
is the guy. But Malik Willis has shown a bit of a change of pace.
Yeah.
And if Josh Jacobs is out from a running back standpoint, is there any value in putting Malik Willis on the field with Jordan Love just to try to give defenses something that they'll have to prepare for going forward?
The guy's got some juice, doesn't he? I mean, there's no question. I asked him what he saw. The second play was a read option, and he ran for, I think, 16 yards. I asked him, what did you see? He goes, open space, first down. Like, I just kind of love the it's a quiet.
The simplicity?
Like, you know, and for a guy who, you know, really got beat around, you know, mentally from, like, criticized and all that when he was in Tennessee, and, you know, to have a guy who, I'm not going to say he's, like, cocky or anything, but he's got this quiet, simple confidence about himself that it does make you wonder. I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't be opposed to them, you know, giving him a few snaps a game, and then, you know, I can hear the people, well, what'd you pay Jordan Love $220 million
exactly,
for?
Like, Rob. Look,
but, like, you know what? Sometimes you got to put that aside, right? And just be like, you know, you're going to play a guy who may give you something, and it's not maybe necessarily a knock on Jordan. It's just it's something in addition to Jordan. So I would not hate the idea.
Rob, we really appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
All right, guys. We'll be seeing you.
Follow Rob Domofsky on social media and all of his Packers coverage at ESPN.com.
If you feel like you're running on empty, Mentality Health is here to help. If you have low testosterone, here's some symptoms: low energy, motivation, fatigue, you're just tired all the time, weight gain, muscle loss, especially belly fat, you feel anxious, moody, irritable. Those are all signs of low testosterone. Mentality is here to help. Go to mentalityhealth.com/radio to book your first appointment and get a full physical consultation, blood panel, and analysis all during that first visit. And what Mentality really does, they focus on your free testosterone levels, which a lot of doctors can overlook. And that's how they're able to help you with your testosterone levels. And then your energy comes back. The belly fat burns off. You feel like yourself again, confident, driven, ready to tackle life. So don't let low testosterone hold you back. Be the best for you and your family. All you have to do is go to mentalityhealth.com/radio, mentalityhealth.com/radio, and book that first appointment today.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation. We've talked about fantasy camp. And now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Wilde and Tausch will continue talking about the Packers' victory over the Giants right now on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody.